right. I know Councilman Sinapi had his hand up.
Yeah, I've forgotten. It's been so long. Attorney Conley, quick question for you. What's the legality as far as state law concerning this proposed ordinance?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Most of the provisions that are identified in the ordinance address specifically matters that are covered by collective bargaining agreements as to those employees that of the city who are subject to collective bargaining agreements. And so they would, those provisions would be subject to a collective bargaining as they are terms and conditions of their employment.
So does that make this ordinance incompatible with state law or compatible?
It's certainly going to be challenged as incompatible with state law, and it would be a very strong and meritorious challenge.
Yeah, and we have a similar letter from Attorney Tim Bliss saying much of the same. Regardless, I call for a fiscal note, thus ending discussion.
So to Solicitor Conley, we've had this discussion in the past. A matter of fact, I believe it was one time when I requested a fiscal note, and someone could refresh my memory on that. I believe that the end of discussion was denied. Could you review that?
I guess I, under section 30-5, pertaining to fiscal notes, I would ask the question of the committee members is, has a fiscal note been presented on file? Do members have a copy of such
note?
No.
I'm unaware of anything.
Okay.
There is no fiscal note here.
So for members of the public who may not have been at prior meetings when this has been invoked, section 30-5 of our Code of Ordinances of the City of Warwick pertains to fiscal notes. And it reads as follows: at the request of the mayor and any member of the city council, an ordinance or resolution having an effect on the revenues, expenditures, or fiscal liability of the city shall be accompanied by a brief explanatory statement or note prepared by the finance department, which sets forth the estimated dollar effect thereof. Such statements or notes shall be known as fiscal notes, and when requested as above, shall accompany an ordinance or resolution prior to consideration by the City Council. Section 30-6 talks about the form of it, but given that there is not one to consider, that isn't applicable here. Per prior practice and precedent of the council that I inherited through Solicitor Harrington and was, I'm not sure on how long it was implemented before that, we treated that as if there isn't a fiscal note that would essentially close debate on the item until a note is presented.
And while the council president may decide matters of points of order or council rules, this is a city ordinance, which he has no purview.
Yes, I might be fined.
Right.
I'm not in disagreement that we probably should have a fiscal note in order to determine the magnitude of the undertaking that we are discussing. I just want, and I think I've heard from our attorney that once there is a request for a fiscal note, there has to be a fiscal note created before we can go forward on it. Is that correct, Councilor Conley or Walsh?
Yes, that's what the ordinance reads and what the practice and precedent of the body has been. It says you can't move with consideration. So without further discussion, it still would be enabled to discuss when you may hold the item over to. if there's a motion to continue it. Otherwise, it would by default stay on the calendar for each meeting until.
Okay, I see Councilman Lattice has his hand up.
So, Councilor Walsh, you said it essentially prevents us from taking action on this. So is that to mean that it prevents us from further discussion?
The term consideration has been used to both as a defined item as and per the practice and precedent has been a term of art as well. The consideration does refer to formal action, which would be precluded, and the discussion therefore has been curtailed in the past.
So based upon the request of a fiscal note, how does a fiscal note differ, or what is it going to show different than what the calculations were from our, at the time, our very own healthcare advisor that puts together the numbers?
Is that different than
what we have here now?
It may be data that comes in similarly. However, the ordinances speak to that the under section 30-5, the fiscal note needs to be prepared by the finance department. And then the contents thereof, I don't have the document that you are referring to, but unless this item was from the finance department, it wouldn't be, it would be subject to consideration as to whether, and I'm sure a point of order could be made, but the item to meet the ordinance's standard needs to be prepared by the finance department and set out the estimated dollar effects thereof. And per section 30-6, the fiscal notes wherever possible shall cite in dollar amounts the current fiscal year and estimates for the next two succeeding fiscal years. And then there's some other standards thereafter. So it's unclear to me if the item that you have would meet the standards, and that's subject to discussion amongst the council members.
So is that a discussion we can have?
Discussion on the item to consider it is closed. Discussion on whether or not the fiscal note is sufficient would be in order.
Okay, so if obviously the only way I could present this document at this time would be to show it on the screen. Is that within the purview of regulations?
I would ask if the item has been prepared by the finance department.
No.
Subject to that item, it seems that even if the contents thereof, it may not qualify for meeting the ordinance. And so I would.
I have a question about whether it is an accurate, whether it is still valid since it was the figures in 2019. There should be a fiscal note based upon the current financial situation.
Okay, so is it appropriate for me to be on go on the record right now requesting a fiscal note from the finance department, or do I need to submit a different type of request tomorrow?
I think you could, it's within your discretion to do both. Your verbal request would certainly be noted this evening. And should you wish to docket a resolution to provide such fiscal notes in a timely manner, that would also, that's something you could do at the conclusion of the meeting.
Well, yeah. I don't know if I need to docket a resolution to request a fiscal note.
A point of information, right? I've already requested the fiscal note.
Oh, well, thank you, Councilman Sinapi. Okay. So that's good.
So with that, I would refer back to discussion on when to hold the item until.
Hold the item until November 4th.
Okay, there's been a request by the sponsor.
That should be convenient.
So so my understanding is, Bill, before I entertain Councilman Lattiser's motion, that it says we can't consider it, but right now we're in the middle of discussion. So obviously we can't take a vote, but we could still discuss it. Doesn't prevent us from discussing it.
And how about taking comments from members of the public?
Sure, you can do that. I mean, too.
Point of information, Councilman Lattiser, I'm pretty sure you yourself have requested a fiscal note since I started my term. And when that happened, all discussion was shut down. I'm not sure why we are considering doing it differently, especially when consideration per the council rules has a very different definition than the way either of you are defining it.
I just heard what consideration is. So, I mean, we're not considering it if we don't vote on it, but there's members of the public that would like to talk and they've been here. There's 51 people online. And I think people have a right to talk about it and we'll hold it.
Consideration and vote are two different things according to the council rules.
Yeah. So
I seem to remember something different. I could be mistaken, but I seem to remember something different. The last time a fiscal note was requested, it seemed to me that there was several points of order and Robert's rules, et cetera, discussion on that. I don't remember it verbatim, but I do remember something challenging the fiscal note requirement, but okay. I could be wrong.
We have, I guess, to answer Councilman Lattiser's question, we have had questions or point of orders invoked onto the contents of whether the items provided meet the standard under a point of order. Per the rules, the president decides all point of orders and would be subject to any other appeals thereafter. We've had that process invoked recently.
Well, maybe we'll get to the president in a moment, but I saw Councilman Howe had raised his hand.
Thank you, Chairman. Councilman Lattiser, I do remember the time you're speaking of, and we did, it was concerning the fire contract, and you requested a fiscal note, and that got, that was the stop the discussion, exactly as we should do right now. It stopped the discussion. And then when we came back into the meeting, you requested a fiscal note, from my recollection, on something, a hypothetical situation you came up with. And that's where the point of order came in. The city budget department gave us the fiscal note that was requested, therefore satisfying the ordinance as it's written. And then when you came up with another fiscal note, it was deemed not within the purview of what the discussion was. So you are absolutely right. There were fiscal notes requested that were stopped. And you are absolutely right. There were times fiscal notes were requested where it was not required.
Thank you.
So could I defer to Councillor Conley as to his interpretation of the ordinance?
So essentially, Solicitor Walsh has explained to us what the interpretation has been of consideration under 30-5. Although I was not counsel to the legal counsel to the city council at those times, we've been advised that the practice and precedent has been to distinguish between consideration and a vote, and that consideration has been applied to discussion by the council of the topic until such time as a fiscal note is received.
And as I recall, that was done during the council meeting, not a subcommittee meeting, where there's members of the public that wanted to speak. And so I would draw that distinction too. We're in a subcommittee meeting and there's people that have logged on that would like to speak. I think if somebody makes a motion during the city council meeting, which is, you know, I've only been here 20 something years. That's usually when it's granted, but not in a subcommittee.
So I guess the question is, while discussion amongst the members of the council is concluded, where does it say in any of the ordinances or the charter that this cannot be opened up to members of the public or any other folks that want to weigh in on this, being that they've been sitting here now for 2.5 hours? Where does it say that the members of the public, both pro and con on this issue, lose their right in time to address this body? We're not going to be discussing it with them.
Well, since I'm the chair, I'm going to ask Councillor Connolly, is there anything preventing the committee from asking the public if they want to be heard on this? Can you?
I got it. Thank you. If in the interest of moving the matter forward, if there are members from the public that want to be heard because they're in attendance, I guess I get a little concerned that as a question of first impression, whether 30-5 is compatible with the Open Meetings Act in that regard. Maybe out of an abundance of caution, you can allow those members of the public to speak, but this is a matter that I will look at in the future for the council to respond to that issue between 30-5 and the OMA. Out of an abundance of caution, I would say that I don't want to suggest that then somehow pries open 30-5 to go beyond the scope that legal counsel Walsh has advised us on. Tread carefully there.
Okay, is there anyone else on the council that wishes to be heard on this?
I'd just like to reiterate the fact that the city attorney and the council attorney both said, one via letter, one here, that this ordinance as written is incompatible with state law and that one of our council members is not able to be present for the discussion or debate, yet others insist on carrying forward, even though it also is against the ordinance, but whatever.
Well, I don't know what you mean by it's against the ordinance. I know that you have made a request for a fiscal note, and I know that we cannot deliberate on it. That does not mean we cannot have an open dialogue concerning how to proceed.
I agree as far as how to proceed. Don't agree is engaging in gymnastics to achieve a result certain people want when past practice vastly is different than what is being attempted now.
So
let me recognize, I'll start with President Marola, then I'll go to Mr. Howe and then Mr. Ricks.
So I was just going to point out what Councilman Sinapi left out, which is the open meetings law and whether state law can be trumped by an ordinance. And I think that his point was that if there are members of the public that wanted to speak and they're here, that we should tread lightly on that right and allow them to speak. And your motion to have a fiscal note will carry the day. So I think that's what all we were saying, that there's, you know, people online that, that have been waiting to speak. And I think that we should allow them to be heard under the open meetings law. Asked access for the public, I think is very important, and free speech is very important, and allowing people the opportunity when they took time out of their day that may not be able to attend the next meeting, I think is important also. Thank you.
Mr. President, Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes, go ahead.
So in trying to, you know, building on what Solicitor Conley had noted, that the item before us is proper for discussion and consideration by the council per the Open Meetings Act. The Open Meeting Act does have a stipulation that public, an open forum session is not necessarily required, but that's certainly the view of the council. That said, the practice and precedent that the council has exerted over the rules, which are different than the Open Meetings Act. The council rules are subject to your adoption and subject to amendment. The term consideration inside of it leaves absent the option on public on the public discussion. So it is possible per the rules and on an item that is properly before us from the open meetings posting, that per the rules, that even though the fiscal note was presented, that consideration stops the council from acting on it, and practice has stopped the discussion of the council members. But I have not experienced it curtailing the public from their opportunity to be heard. So there is, I think, some wiggle room through all of this whereby the council could cease their further discussion. However, members of the public present at this time, you could have them speak, and then the item would be closed thereafter.
In that case, I retract my objection in that regard, based on the advice of the council.
And Mr. Chairman, I was going to say the same thing. I was taking the advice of the council. I am not a lawyer. I depend on the advice from council. So I will listen to what council says and withdraw my request for comment.
Okay, having heard both of the, having heard Councilman Rex wanted to make, make a statement.
I raised my hand prior to this discussion and the call for a fiscal note. Although I did raise my hand after Councilman Sinapi, so I'm certainly not saying anything about order in that regard. But since we are going to have further discussion, and I'll have that opportunity later on, I'll allow this to go to the public without making a long speech, especially since we are going to be waiting for the fiscal note before having that vote. Thank you.
Okay, at this point, having spoken to everyone on the council and heard from them, is there anyone from the public that wishes to be heard concerning this item? Is there anyone from the public that wishes to be heard concerning the proposal?
Since Mr. Chairman, we do have a member of the public who wishes to speak.
Okay, whoever the first person is, could that person identify themselves?
SCHI 545, please unmute and speak when you're ready. Caller, you are unmuted. Please speak. I'm sorry, you are allowed to talk. Please unmute and speak when you're ready.
Mr. Corley?
Yeah.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hi, it's Michael Zarum, Ward 2. My only comment is I wanted to thank everybody on the committee and everybody that's in the virtual room here for taking a look at this. There are a lot of issues that I think are beyond the scope that most people, and I'm glad that Councilors Walsh and Conley are on board with this to take a look at it. My biggest concern is that something gets approved that has a conflict with collective bargaining, and therefore something passes, but it's not enforceable and comes up later down the road. And with that, I just want to say thank you to everybody for doing the due diligence here, because it's needed and appreciated. And that's the end of my comment. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. I'm sure there's someone else who wants to be heard.
Yes.
Not at this time, Mr. Chair.
Okay. If there's no one else in the public that wishes to be heard on it, we'll go back to the committee. And I believe there has been a motion for a fiscal note. And I would join in that motion. And I don't know if there is anything else that we should do other than, well, I suppose we should discuss while there is going to be a fiscal note, when the continuance of this item would be on the calendar. Councilman Sinapi?
I hate to drag out this further on procedural, but this is I might as well do it now rather than later. So a request for a fiscal note, to my understanding, is not a motion. The only motion that we'd be making is a motion to hold. But okay. I'm not sure. That's why that's why I'm saying this. If anyone I'm can correct sure me, either. Please do.
But we have lawyers.
Yes, the citation doesn't require a formal motion. It's now been indoctrinated into this discussion, and the motion that would be in order, if there isn't one, the item is going to be held to the next meeting by default. If there is a motion to move it to a different date, that would be what is in order.
Okay, Councilman Lattiser as the sponsor.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to hold till November 4th.
That's fine.
Member of the committee.
Is there a second?
Second.
Wait a minute. Let me
need a committee member to make the motion.
No, I was just checking that. It's myself and Councilman Sinapi, and I believe the president.
Yes, President Marone is sitting in.
Okay. I will move that it be held to November 4th.
Second.
Okay, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Did it not come through? Aye, sorry.
Okay, it's three ayes. Okay, that closes that. I believe, let me go back to the beginning and see if there's anything else on the agenda for ordinance. I lost my place, but I believe that was it for.
There was one more item.
Yeah, it's okay. Not drafted.
PCO 16-20, an ordinance relative to permitting and regulating charitable donation bins. It comes from Councilman Ricks for first passage and is not drafted.
Okay, Councilman Ricks, what would you want done?
Yes, so. I actually just had a meeting with the building official today, as well as the coordinator of property maintenance. I think we're making very good progress on this. I would request to hold to November 16th, and we're hoping to have a final draft that can be presented to the council ahead of that meeting.
You will repeat the date?
Second meeting in November, November 16th.
Okay, at the behest of the sponsor, I'm going to move that it be held until the second meeting in November.
So moved.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay. It's move to the second meeting in November. And that closes the Ordinance Committee at 7:46.
Next up is Public Safety Committee, Councilman Chairperson Sanapi, Councilman Ricks, Councilman Howe.
Councilman Howe, you good? All right, Public Safety will start. We got acceptance of committee minutes from October 5th, 2020.
Move to accept.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Next, we have ordinance in regards to the installation of a no parking sign on Parkside Drive. And second passage, Councilman Corley.
And ask for favorable action.
I'll move favorable action. Is there a second?
Seconded.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye. Any questions?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, good point. Skip the step there. All right. Any questions, members of the committee? Any questions, members of the council? Any questions, members of the public?
Yes, there is one question from the public. Galaxy A51, please unmute and speak when you're ready.
That was an error. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No problem.
All right. Any other members of the public wish to speak? Any other members of the public wish to speak? I don't see any hands raised. So motion made and seconded. No one wishes to speak. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Next, we have PCO 1820, an ordinance regarding a no-through trucking sign on Sand Pond Road and Buckland Avenue. Councilman Howe.
Request favorable action.
Move favorable action. Bear in mind, this is second passage.
Second.
Motion made and seconded, but first, any comments and questions from members of the committee? Members of the council? Members of the public? Members of the public? There, it looks like there's one.
Yes, looks like someone has just called in again. I'm going to allow them to talk. And I-545, go ahead when you're ready.
Hi, good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. It's Michael Zaram again, Ward 2. I'm going to speak in favor for approval. And the reason being is I think it's very, very reasonable, given that very, very close by, there was recent approval zoning-wise for a storage facility. And my understanding is that a lot of residents are concerned about trucks from that storage facility cutting through the residential neighborhood and maintaining a residential character. So with that, I would just say that as a member from the public and a resident, I would be in favor of that. Thank you. That's the end of my comment.
Thank you, sir. Any other members of the public wish to speak? Any other members of the public wish to speak? I don't see any hands, so motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next, we have PCO 4-20, an ordinance relative to the installation of traffic control signs. Councilman Lattiser. Councilman, if you're speaking, I can't hear you. I think you're muted.
Sorry about that. Okay, which one was that again, Mr. Chairman?
That's the resolution in regards to installation of traffic control signs, PCO 4-20.
Okay. I would like to make an amendment on that and change on line 25. Change that to 60 days. The Department of Public Works shall install all signs and signals as approved by the Warwick Police Department or the City Council within 60 days of said approval. also the same change as we made previously, which would withdraw fines and penalties. That's my amendment.
Sponsors requested an amendment. There needs to be a motion made.
I'll make a motion.
Some of them are ridiculous.
Say what?
A member of the committee needs to make the motion.
Oh, okay. True.
I'll make a motion to the effect that Councilman Lattiser provided.
Anyone seconding? Seeing none, the motion fails. I'm not going to reiterate all my prior comments on this. I think it's come before us like three or four times at this point. I've had to say it over and over again. I think everyone's had enough. I know I have. I know the public probably has. So just ditto what I've said before. Any other members of the committee wish to speak on this?
I'll just say briefly that I think it is very reasonable for the Department of Public Works to place the various traffic signs, generally speaking, within 30 days. Certainly, if there are some issues where the ground is frozen or the like, then that's obviously good cause for not placing those signs if we physically can't do it. I think that the idea behind this proposed ordinance is a good idea. I can see how there may be some adjustments that need to be made to it. But with that in mind, I think that the spirit of the ordinance is in the right place.
Mr. Chairman, the motion was made, was not seconded, therefore failed. So we are done with the discussion on this item.
With the proposed amendment, we're done. Now it's back to its original form.
Okay, thank you. Thank
Sorry.
You.
Any other members of the committee wish to speak? All right, any members of the council wish to speak? Any members of the public wish to speak? Any members of the public wish to speak? All right, seeing none, I move unfavorable action.
Seconded.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Nay.
Motion passes. Next, we have PCR 21-20, resolution relative to claims. Ms. Mary McGann. Excuse me for a moment while I flip the correct page. Okay, this is the claim that the department recommended denying due to the fact that construction was slash is being performed by a private entity that was responsible for the area. They provided contact information for who should be consulted. There's also the added fact that the affidavit is not filled out in the way that we prefer, certainly. Because we have because this is the I have received compensation from another source, the amount of $341.81. So it would be for the difference, not the end of the world. Either way, department's recommendation seems pretty clear, unless there's a reason why we should somehow be responsible for it. I'm not really seeing it.
And Mr. Chairman, if I remember correctly, notice has gone out. I believe we've held this since last winter. This has been, we've given ample opportunity for the claimant to come in.
I believe she's on.
Thank you. Good.
Sorry. I believe I did see her earlier.
And I don't know what worries,
a phone call. I believe she, I did see her a second ago. Hang on. Under Dev, hands up. The hand is raised.
Perfect. So I was going to go to, I was going to ask her exactly that at the end. So can she be allowed to speak, please?
Sure, just a moment.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Hello, miss.
Okay. I'm Mary McGann, and I found what you just said a little disappointing because I was at the meeting on the 9th, and at that time, you asked me to work with Steve Marola, you know, he would know somebody from National Grid that could probably address this claim. And we sent him information. I don't know if Steve is still around, and we'd be happy to still work with him. But, you know, this road here on Major Potter Road has been dug up for many, many months. In fact, it's just back to normal now. As of the last 2 days, they finally paved it again. And the night of the accident, the 9th, there was absolutely no orange cones or other devices to indicate potholes or any other obstructions. And for weeks before and weeks after, we were still seeing these there, lights, you know, orange cones all over the place. There was nothing there, and the policemen that were out there directing traffic could also attest to that Major Potter Road was a disaster for most of the residents of our condominium development for many, many months, and it's just stopped about a day or so ago. There were cops. So, you know, I just feel it wasn't our error. It was an error of not properly the
course.
Yeah. Miss, I think you're almost assuredly correct based on the recommendation from the department. And I was remiss in not mentioning something rather important before you spoke. I actually spoke to the mayor's office earlier today about your claim and about the fact that you were trying to get in touch with someone about it. They're going to put you in touch with somebody.
Okay, thank you.
My apologies for not mentioning that. It's okay. Obviously rather important, so it's my fault.
Yes, I mean, really, it's been scary going up that road.
Spending the money.
Right, okay, yeah. And the cost of, you know, for that little pothole thing was $840.81 when we finally got the repairs, and I didn't have the front fender replaced. I just had them simply put it back in place. So
news is you'll be able to actually, if you went through the city, like if it had been the city's fault, you would have been capped out at a recovery of $300. So it's actually a good thing that it was a private entity's fault, because now, I mean, you can collect whatever you can get from them.
I don't know if National Grid is the proper person, but I guess somebody will contact me.
Yeah, the mayor's office will help you determine how to go about that.
Thank you.
I'd like to say something before she gets off the phone.
Yep. So any members of the committee wish to speak? All right, members of the council president.
Yeah, and I just hope you're still on the line. Your insurance company actually called me, and I called them back and left them a message because, you know, my understanding is the administration was saying that the pothole was not, they weren't aware of it. Or I don't think in their recommendation they said it was caused by somebody else. Unfortunately, that's a city road. That's our responsibility. And the condition of that road has been atrocious for years. The potholes were so numerous that the mayor is on the front page of the Beacon last week saying that he's repaving the road. So I don't think that anybody didn't know how bad that road was. And so I agree with you, ma'am, that I don't know. Could you make a claim against National Grid because they were doing construction work there and they had trucks going in and out?
And parking.
Yes, certainly that you could make a claim to that effect. But the issue is what you can prove. Okay. And I don't know that you can prove that National Grid caused those potholes, but that's not the standard under state law. The standard under state law is, did the city of Warwick know? And the city of Warwick has known for years about the condition of that road. And so in my opinion, your claim should not have been denied or recommended for denial. The road was so bad, the mayor was in the paper stating that it was a total reclamation project where he had to go in and reclaim the whole road. The potholes were so big, and I'm glad to see that he did it. But that doesn't mean that you're not entitled to get compensated from the city, because everybody knew the condition of that road. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
If I might suggest, would it be helpful if we held your claim? That way you have time to connect with whoever the mayor's office put you in touch with to find out if you're actually going to be compensated by the private entity. That way, if something happens and it doesn't work out, you can come back before us and we can see where we go from there.
All right. I think I'll do what you just suggested. Yes.
All righty. So I'd move to hold this to the second meeting in November. That way there's actually time to get this done and get it done right.
And I'll await the call. And I appreciate what President Steve said, Marolo, because really it's been a disaster, this road, and the double parking of all the people that worked on the highway on Route 2 out here near us. They park their cars at night to get into the big trucks and equipment they had stored down here at the bottom of Major Potter Road, but they left their own vehicles all the way up the right-hand side of our road coming from Route 2. So we had half a road really to travel on, most of us who live off of this road. It's been a nightmare, the whole thing. But anyway, I'm glad it's documented and people have...
And Mr. Chairman, I'll second that with a comment. I have to agree with your statement that it would be better, whatever is beneficial, for Mrs. McGann to receive the full amount of whatever she can get, understanding that the city has a cap. So if she was to just put in a claim with the city, the cap would be $300, where if she went through the private entity, that is absolutely right. And I'm also glad that the council president mentioned that the road was paved, because, you know, for 18 years in the previous, it was ignored. And now here we are getting it paved. And it was put on a top priority list per the engineering company, I'm sure, saying, hey, this is a road that has to be taken care of. And they took care of it. So though it may have taken 18 years, it got from the previous administration letting the road get to the condition it was addressed very quickly. And we're glad that we can take these issues and many others and many all of our wards, all nine wards, and put them aside moving forward. So I second your motion.
Motion made and seconded. Anyone else on the council wish to speak? Anyone else on the general public wish to speak? I know there's a hand up. I see a Lisa Bedard.
I got it.
Hi. I received a letter to come on to this meeting at 7 o'clock for the zoning board. Am I not in the right place?
You're in the right place, miss. Unfortunately, the wrong time, although not due to your doing. Council businesses pushed back significantly. I don't even know what time. It's already 8.
Yeah.
We're getting there.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. Thank you. At least I know.
All right. And it looks like there are no other hands up. So motion made and seconded. No other members of the public wish to speak. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. So that's held to the second meeting in November. There we are. Next, we have PCR 38-20, resolution in regards to erecting a stop sign on Maywood Avenue to stop traffic entering onto Beach Avenue. Councilman McElroy.
I move favorable action.
One quick question. I assume this is supported by a traffic study?
Yes, it was.
There you go. All right. So, resolution for erecting a stop sign supported by a traffic study. Any other members of the committee wish to speak? Any members of the council wish to speak? Any members of the public wish to speak? Any members of the public wish to speak? All right. I'll move favorable action on PCR 38-20. Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Resolution relative to the claims. Mark Huell, hopefully. My apologies if I butchered it. That's PCR 68-20. Lynn, correct me if I'm wrong. Is this one of the ones we recommended? We sent notice to.
Yes, notice was sent out. I have not heard from him.
And this is one of the ones where his, in addition to the fact that the department recommended denying due to an act of God, the affidavit is filled out in a way that we would need to have fixed before we did anything too. Well, we provided notice. Department recommends denial. Affidavit's fatally flawed. My gut is to deny it, but any members of the committee wish to speak?
How many opportunities have we met the ordinance guidelines in allowing the constituent to come before the council?
Yes, Lynn commented on that. She sent the letter and the notice.
Excellent. Okay, thank you.
And correct me if I'm wrong at any point, Lynn.
Notice has been sent.
All right, any other members of the council wish to speak? Any members of the public wish to speak? Any members of the public wish to speak? Seeing none, we'll entertain a motion.
Move unfavorable action.
Second it. Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No.
Next. PCR 89-20, resolution relative to claims, Ms. Helen Bradshaw. So this I asked to be held because, and I had done this once in the past for someone else, because the person's estimates did not include labor. So they were basically shortchanging themselves because we approved the lowest estimate. And last time we had this kind of issue, the person was able to get out there and get estimates that included labor. But Lynn, correct me if I'm wrong, my understanding is that this individual was not able to do that.
She sent an email today that I had forwarded to you.
Right.
Did you see that? Yes. She said labor was included in her
email. One out of three.
Correct.
So I'm a little worried of deviating from past precedent just because then we're going to start a cycle of no longer being past precedent, but there's always unique circumstances. So Councilman Ricks.
Chairman, if I may, with the COVID and with everything going on right now, and especially because while some websites, it might be possible to get an estimate on labor, other websites like for example, I believe that the two websites here for Tire Easy and Walmart.com, I can't speak definitively on this point, but I don't believe that there is an ability to get an estimate online that includes labor. Therefore, under the situations of COVID-19 and it being I think that it's a rather bad practice to encourage people to go down to a body shop, ask for an estimate for labor on work that's already been done for a business that cannot be given to those shops during the age of COVID-19. I think that that's just unnecessary exposure of risk to the members of the public. And for those reasons, I think that certainly while the ordinance our standards for having three estimates, that's all well-intentioned. It's a matter of preventing fraud. But I think that the purpose of that ordinance has been served by receiving the three estimates in terms of the cost of the product. And therefore, where the labor is reasonable, I think that we're all making adjustments and we're all realizing that COVID-19 is placing a burden on people. And therefore, I think that it would be fair to take the lowest of the three estimates for the price of the products and apply the actual cost of labor on that in this specific circumstance where we have assurances too that the cost of labor is reasonable for the service provided.
So for those who have been on the council longer than I, is that a deviation that has ever been done? feel free to speak up if anyone knows the answer, because obviously I've only been here a bit, short time.
So Councilman Ricks is asking that we waive that provision that you get three estimates. And has that been done in the past under unique circumstances? It has, where things couldn't be estimated. I mean, it's $300, but certainly that's up to the committee. Obviously, you don't want to set a bad precedent. The reason that we put that in, that ordinance in, is because there was one member of the public that went to a friend and got a high estimate when it was, you know, he put, I don't know, $150 in his pocket by not getting three estimates. And so I think it was actually Councilman Solomon talked about it and said this, you know, we got to get more than one estimate. So that's the rationale for the rule. Obviously, COVID-19, that's a pretty strong rationale in and of itself, too. So I think it's up to the pleasure of the council. You could always bring it to the floor without a recommendation and people could consider it, or you could make a recommendation one way or the other.
Yep, Chairman, absolutely. Do it up.
Thank you. So as I look over the Quicklane invoice, which comes to the grand total of $291, which is short of the $300 cap, I noticed that labor charged by Quicklane is $89.95. If we subtract $89.95 from the $291, that number is actually lower than the estimates from the other two providers, TireEasy and Walmart.com. So Quicklane actually charged less for the goods themselves than TireEasy or Walmart.com. Therefore, if we were to add the $89.95 to either of those two lower estimates, it would still end up coming to a higher number than the actual invoice. Therefore, I would move favorable action as to the invoice as the lowest of the three in terms of the cost of the product, and also as the $89.95 for labor, even when combined with, well, when combined with that lowest invoice, comes to the $291, which is under the $300 cap.
Any other members of the committee wish to speak? Any members of the council wish to speak? Any members of the public wish to speak? There's a motion made by Councilman Ricks in regards to providing at the cost of $291. Motion made and seconded. I mean, as long as we're operating under the guidelines of COVID as a unique circumstance, because once this ends, I know I don't want to be dealing with claims where people constantly have an excuse, because there's always going to be a reason. We've heard it before. The only difference is here, COVID is a global phenomenon. This is not a typical basis. This isn't like dog ate my homework kind of thing. So certainly a unique circumstance. So motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And Mr. Chairman, I would also say that I know in Finance Committee that we have made a lot of decisions and we have ordinances that department heads are required to follow. And I know that the chairman and the rest of the committee, we have also modified and will continue to do so as long as the pandemic has been around. We have been making modifications and understandings with that. So I thank you for making this understanding.
Next is nothing. Lynn, can you confirm that for me, please? Make sure I'm not missing anything.
It's the end of my agenda. Last...
All right, the consensus is we finished. So next committee.
The Intergovernmental Committee is in order. It is 8:16 p.m. Councilman Corley is chairman. Councilman Howe, Councilman McElroy.
All right, just give me a second.
Preemptive strike. I'll make a motion to accept the minutes of October 5th, 2020.
Thank you kindly. I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And there are three items that I'm trying to find. Okay, that would, the first item is PCR 196-19, a resolution to the General Assembly for additional funding for Warwick Public Schools, not drafted, President Marola.
I would hold that to the second meeting in November.
Motion to hold PCR 196-19 on behalf of the sponsor.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.